Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody, and Happy New Year. I'm impressed at the number of people that are dialed in and listening to us on a streaming basis on this holiday, the Happy New Year holiday. Most of you are celebrating it by watching football, possibly the Rose Parade, but a good number of you, an impressive number of you, are dialed in and listening to us right now. We thank you so much for making this program a regular part of your information gathering process as you seek to be the best professional in the new year. And Happy New Year to all of you professionals in the mortgage world. We appreciate so much you being who you are, because I believe only those that are really serious about being quality top producers, good managers, the best mortgage citizens could be, for a better word, I believe you are the ones that dial and listen to this. I believe that this radio program is that. It's drawing the professionals, those that are most serious about having a lasting positive impact on our industry. And we appreciate you being a part of our listening audience each and every week. Now, for those of you that are enjoying the football and are going to listen to enjoying football and the Rose Parade and are going to dial in and listen to it, we appreciate you being a part of it on a download basis. And we encourage all of our audience to pass the word around to your network of individuals, people that you work with, both in the industry, even out of the industry. It's a great tool to use for letting realtors, your builders that you work with, know what's going on industry. We got an amazing number of realtors and builders and even some legislators that are wanting to know how we react to the legislation they're putting out. I chuckle at that because you can only imagine how we react to it. But we have a broad audience, and we appreciate it because it's made possible as a result of each one of you passing the word around, and I'm looking so forward to this new year and being a part of making a difference in this industry. And that's really what we're about. So many people ask me, why do you do this radio program, Dave? I say, well, first of all, I get tired at the end of the day. I get tired of reading. I want to listen to something. And what's really turning out, I don't want to read about facts and this and that. I want to hear hot issues discussed, the most critical issues, and I want to hear some of the top professionals in the industry discussing the issues that matter and should matter to you, each one of you in the audience. We have a special guest today, not just one, but we have five special guests with us. We have Gabe Minton, Kelly Purcell, we got Roger Godot, we got Michael Hammond, and Tony Garitano. We're going to be talking about everything technology and what we can look forward to in the year 2012, and a lot of great discussion. Alice Alvey and Joe Farr and Andy Shell, who are usually regular guests on the radio program, we just gave them the day off to enjoy their family, and we thank them so much for being a part of the program. Each and every week, Joe Farr brings us an update on interest rates and what's going on in the market. If for those of you that are not aware of it, his website is www.mbs, it stands for Mortgage Banking Systems, I guess, MBS quote line, his mortgage-backed securities quote line. It doesn't really stand for that. I'm not sure what those initials are, but it's MBS. M as in Mary, B as in boy, S as in solution, quoteline.com. And I'm chuckling because I'm going to think, I have to ask Joe what that MBS stands for. I'd like to say it's Mortgage Banking Solutions, but I think they have another name for it. But anyway, Joe and that website publish what's going on each and every week. It's a vital tool in your tool chest to be effective in the industry, to be able to have an impact and help advise your customers as rates change. And folks, this is going to be an interesting year when it comes to interest rates. And how do rates change? I say this all the time on the air. How do rates change? They move down kind of skittishly. They move down slowly. But at the first sign, when interest rates pop up, they don't just jump up a little. There's always an overreaction to the upside of a market. And that's why you've got to have tools like MBS Quoteline at your fingertips, being emailed to you, being texted to you, online, dialed in, if you had a computer dialed in, watching the markets in real time. It's really a valuable tool, nearly in real time. It's a valuable tool, and we recommend each of you make that a part of your day. We appreciate Joe Farr. Wish him a very happy new year, and to everyone there at MBS Quoteline, and we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back, everybody. Appreciate you dialing in and tuning in each and every week. Normally, we would have Alice Alvey give us a legislative update. She, too, is enjoying her family, as she should be. And this holiday, she dials in. I may even be surprised we can see her dial in here in just a minute. She may be listening on a streaming basis. But it's almost more fun to talk about our regulars and talk behind their back, so to speak, because I don't want them to blush. Alice Alvey is probably one of the most, one of the best training professionals in the industry. I listen and enjoy her so much because she makes the most mundane, boring topics interesting to me. And if you could hold my attention, and I have a little bit of ADD going on there, so that's I appreciate the fact she could hold my attention for an hour and a half when she's doing these classes. She's fascinating. She uses great analogies. If you're looking for a training source, I encourage you to go to www.mortgage-u.com and check out her curriculum of training classes. And not only that, look while you're there, go over to www.wetzeltrott.com, which is the QC firm that she's affiliated with, works and partner with. And the two companies just do an outstanding job. They're preferred vendors that we work with on a regular basis, and we recommend you get to know them. Again, it's so important. What's that saying? You're known by the company you keep. Well, I'm proud to keep company with these two professionals, Jan Wetzel and Alice Alvey, because of the type of training that they provide, and, of course, with Joe Farr and Andy Shell. But so thrilled to have them be a part of the regular weekly radio program. We appreciate them being there for us each and every week and all the research that goes into analyzing what's going on legislatively. What I find most interesting about the legislative update is we have people inside the Beltway tuning. I realize some may not understand what that means. Inside the Beltway is inside the Washington, D.C. Beltway, the freeway system that goes around the Beltway freeway system that goes around Washington, D.C. Legislators, staffers are listening to how we respond to the regulations that they're putting out. We have become a feedback tool to legislators that are looking at passing legislation to see how is the industry going to receive this. So the discussion that we have around each of the legislative pieces, again, this comes to us with thanks to Alice Alvey and her team there at Mortgage U, the analysis they bring us on these and alerting us what's coming up. It is a valuable tool, and we appreciate the fact that the staff and the legislators inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C. have found us a reliable way of getting information. We appreciate Alice and all of her work that she does each and every week to bring us that information. And just want to wish both Joe and Alice and Jan, of course, a very, very happy new year. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Happy New Year. I should have gotten one of those, things you blow in that makes the Happy New Year sound on here. I should have brought that onto it. I don't know what you guys did for your New Year. We had a teenage party that went till 4 o'clock in the morning. No alcohol. It was a great group of kids that were over, but I want to tell you, we were dragging on New Year's Day, big time. Now, talk about a subject that many kind of get bummed out on or dragging on is the topic of accounting. And each and every week we have the Profit Doctor, also known as Andy Schell, on the radio program, and he's bringing things to fix your bottom line, bringing you ideas, bringing you concepts of what to do to fix your bottom line and help bring about a healthier business. And I don't know, most of us do this because we enjoy doing it, yes, but it's our livelihood. We do this to make money. And it's amazing the number of people that really do need help, especially as we bring out the things like the call report this next year. This year, those that just had to file the call report, it's a big deal. And that call report has got to be so accurate. And if you take a cavalier approach to the call report, your financials are getting reported inaccurately, and that's a great infraction and could have jeopardized your approval, could jeopardize your company, ongoing entity, the ongoing aspects of your business. I mean, this is serious, folks. Never has there been a time where we need to look at, analyze how we're going about doing our accounting. Each and every week we have Andy Schell on the program talking about some aspect of accounting. And one of the reasons I enjoy Andy so much, like Alice, he can take the mundane and complex and just bring it alive. He uses a lot of wonderful analogies, as does Alice, and it's really fun to see how he can make the topic of accounting so sticky and really hold in our heads for those of us who are non-accounting types. It's really good. I appreciate Andy being a part of the program. Also, he's my business partner, so I especially appreciate that he takes the time to be on the radio each and every week to bring you an update on what's going on. So, Andy Schell, and to your family and everyone there at MBS, appreciate you so much bringing what you do. I know it's a lot of work to gather those segments each and every week. So, Andy Schell, we appreciate you doing it and being a part of the program, and we appreciate our listening audience. We're working through our normal topics that we cover. Obviously, I'm kind of giving a brief summary about each one of the parties that are on the regulars, that are part of the radio program each and every week. But I'm wanting really to get now over into talking with our guests, and we'll do that in just a minute. And so we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back. This is David Lincoln with Lincoln on Lending. By the way, I'm just amazed at the number of people dialed in and listening to us today. Appreciate you taking time to be a part of the program, and I'm really excited to have another regular guest that's with us many times. Doesn't always have to be there. He's been struggling with, earthquakes. He's struggled with hurricanes, and he struggled with snowstorms and power outages. Tony Garitano with Progress and Lending. Tony, it's good to have you and your board of directors with you on the program today. So, Tony, let's start off. You want to make sure I got your mic turned on, that you can hear me loud and clear?
I can hear you, Dave. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and your whole team. Let's start off by giving our listeners some background, Tony, on what you're trying to accomplish at Progress and Lending Association. It's a unique association, and I think some people may think it's a trade association, but then some people look at it, well, it's a publication. So let's really define it. What is Progress and Lending all about?
I think you're dead on there, Dave. Because we put the word association in the name of the company, some people think of us as competing with, you know, the MBA or the ABA, and that's really not what we're about.
Progress
Progress and Lending Association is a think tank It's a place where technology visionaries can have a repository to express their ideas. And we really created it because we, you know, like you do, you talk every week on the on this radio show, Dave, we think that the mortgage industry is changing dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, technology is going to be a big part of getting us over this hump and onto the next side. And we think that if we can allow these visionaries to write, to videotape themselves, to put to do podcasts, to be participants on your radio show, that we can find very diverse ways to get that message out to the industry. I'm predominantly a writer, so Progress is really a think tank with a penchant towards journalism. We come out with a daily newsletter, a monthly magazine, a monthly video newscast, and we're very fortunate that you let us come on the radio show today. Because
I can't believe how many people are dialed in and listening today with having so many distractions, the fact that people are there today listening, of all days, the second. And I guess that's really not a surprise, Tony, because I think professionals are really interested in hearing what other leading professionals are thinking today, and that's really what this is an audio broadcast. I hope they add video to it shortly, is to really share ideas. The component you just talked about was the think tank, and I want to say this, in the tank with you is a number of board members, and I would like to have you, if you would take a moment, to introduce each one of them, and we have them on the line, and looking forward to getting their commentary as we look forward into 2012. So would you introduce those? I'm going to refer to them as our tank members, also known as the board members. So who are the tank members that you have on, the think tank members that you have on the broadcast with us here, Tony?
No problem. First, we have Roger Godoba. He has over 25 years of mortgage experience. He's the CEO at Progress in Lending, and he's also Chief Strategy Officer of Dynamic Document Technology and Compliance vendor called Compliance Systems. He's a longtime advocate of data standardization, and he's coined the phrase, it's all about the data. So Roger's with us today.
Good to have you on board, Roger.
Thank you.
We also have Michael Hammond. He's the Chief Strategy Officer at Progress and Lending Association. He's also the founder and president of Next Level Advisors. And for those of you that may or may not know about Next Level Advisors, they are a premier solutions provider. They provide business development, strategic selling, marketing, public relations, and social media expertise in the mortgage space. Michael has over two decades of leadership in the mortgage space. And he's one of only 60 people, Dave, that has the CMT designation from the MBA.
That's significant. Welcome. Good to have you here, Michael. Good. Looking forward to your comments.
Thank you, Dave.
We also have
Tony, who else?
We're keeping it going. We also have Kelly Purcell. Kelly is the Chief Information Officer at Progress and Lending Association. She is the Executive Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing for eSign Systems, which is a division of Wave Systems Corp. eSign is a – you should know them, Dave. I mean, they're
familiar,
a provider of e-signatures and e-vaulting solutions. The great thing about Kelly is that she co-founded eSign Systems, which was an e-signing Sign Online, which was an e-signing and e-vaulting company back in the late 90s. So she has been a recognized evangelist and advocate on behalf of e-signatures and e-vaulting and everything e-mortgages before there was even a market for it in the mortgage space.
And I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Kelly, it's an honor to have you here and really be a part of the program. Again, looking forward to your comments. Last but not least, our
Gabe Minton. We have Gabe Minton with us, Dave. He's the Chief Technology Officer at Progress and Lending Association and Senior Vice President of Information Services at ServiceLink. He oversees software engineering, quality assurance, and business analysis services for ServiceLink, and he facilitates the strategic execution of its products and services. We both know Gabe. He's got over 15 years of mortgage experience. He was instrumental in creating MISMO, very involved during his tenure at the MBA in pushing everything electronic and really pushing e-mortgages mainstream in the mortgage industry. We've got more work to go, but Gabe has brought us a long way.
Gabe is a great friend and some one of the critical thinkers in our industry, and I've had the privilege of literally working at the same company as Gabe, and what an honor. It's just fun to be around really intelligent people. And Kelly, Roger, and Michael all in that same group, just of that caliber. So my compliments to you, Tony. As I said earlier in the program, you're known by the company you keep, so I was already impressed with you before I knew all these folks were a part of you, but you're keeping great company. Let's get into talking about and I love the think tank aspect of it, because I think critical thought is so important as we look forward in the new year. You made a statement at your opening, Tony, about how technology is going to play an ever more important role as we go into this next business cycle and when the housing starts recovering. And it's going to be the foundation, and it's going to make the big difference between, I think, those that make it and those that don't. So this is a very critical program, listeners. For those of you that are listening and downloading this thing, I predict this program will be downloaded for the next 6 months, maybe out throughout the whole year because of the things we're about ready to get into. And, Tony, let's go there. Let's get into what are some of the initiatives that you have in progress in lending. I understand that you have an innovations program. Could you tell our listeners about that?
That's the next big thing for us, Dave. It's an awards program of sorts, but really what it does is it gives innovators an opportunity to get recognized. So what we do is we accept applications online at progressinlending.com. Go to our events and announcements section to apply. The deadline is next week, Friday, which is January 13th. We have detailed criteria for the process. We have a weighted scale so that everyone gets assigned points by all of the board members that are on the radio today. And it's really a way to showcase innovation and to encourage future innovation. That's really started it. It's like, look, we're not going to charge people for an application. We're not going to charge people to qualify. It's all free. We want innovators to get the recognition that they deserve out of the program.
I think that is so important. And listeners, those of you that know of a good idea or have a good idea that you're implementing and working, it's got to have some traction. I mean, it can't be some vague concept. This is stuff that's actually working. Am I correct, Tony?
Correct. We have, five criteria that we ask for, the hard costs and time savings of your innovation, the intangible efficiencies that your innovation brings the industry, the positive change that your innovation has made possible, the originality of your innovation, and lastly, the overall industry significance. Those are our criteria, and we take them very seriously, and we hope that we encourage people to apply and also to innovate in the future.
Anyone who's listening to this program, you got an idea that you have implemented and is bringing those results, I encourage you, do not sit back and go, well, my idea would never make it. Get it out here. There's two reasons. We need to know about it as an industry, and isn't it all about exposure and attention? You don't know where that idea would go unless you just put it out in front of these professionals. And these guys are the ones that are looking at these things. Well, it's a trade secret. I don't want to give it up. What if I share too much? You got to get past that. What's the one saying one of the technology guys in the world said that the shelf life of a really innovative idea is, I think, days or weeks maybe? I mean, everybody's thinking about it. Get it out there. Get your ideas out and get them entered into this. It's not the ideas, I want to clarify, it's actually those things that were ideas, that were concepts that you've moved into an actual program. So go online, take a look at it, see if you qualify. I encourage you to get your innovative idea that is up and running and working registered. Let's shift gears for a moment and focus really about our industry, Tony. And I'd like to begin to get your panel of experts that we have on the radio here, Kelly, Gabe, Roger, and Michael, to really comment on this. Let's start first. This is the first day of the year, second day of the year, but we're at the beginning of our new year. And what are the technology trends, Tony, that you expect to see in 2012? And then if you'd lead the discussion with your board members and your think tank. I like that think tank thing. I'm zeroed in on that, Tony. All right, so let's hear it. What can we expect in trends?
I'll start it off, and then I'll pass it on to Kelly because I know she has some ideas as well as do the other boards. But I think that for me, I'm seeing that lenders are more involved in technology. They're more action-oriented. it used to be that there was a technology solution for every problem, and that was it, and it was a Band-Aid for this problem or that problem. I'm seeing that lenders are looking more holistically at their process and how technology can improve their process as opposed to just this problem or that problem. And I really hope that that accelerates into 2012. Compliance, as we all know, is going to drive technology adoption this year as it did last year. But lenders are moving, and I'm optimistic, as you and I always are, Dave, about the future. I think that technology is going to really be a defining factor for those lenders that actually get up and move in 2012. So what do you think, Kelly?
You know what? Thanks, Tony. So I say there's a twofold approach to trends for 2012. It's getting back to basics. And so the first is improving the efficiency of the core, whatever your core administrative system is, whether it's an LOS, underwriting, servicing. And what that means is that what's happening is people are looking at their core systems and saying, do I need to move to the cloud? Do I need to have a mobile strategy? Do I need an e-signature strategy, an e-delivery strategy? So looking at how can we improve that efficiency of that main core system of whatever my business is. But ultimately, the second part to the twofold is if it does not improve the customer experience, it will not get on the priority list for 2012. So that is my those are my comments for the trends for 2012. Has to improve your core system. But ultimately, if it does not improve the customer experience, it won't happen.
What do you think, Gabe?
You know, I think that there's definitely going to be a continued move towards increased automation. I'm excited about where MISMO version 3 is. The GSEs are moving towards uniform loan delivery. They're very active on the appraisal side over the course of 2011. And there's a constant move towards cookie cutter and away from, you know, wild cowboy lending. And so that move continues. I think we're going to get a shot in the arm from HARP 2 at the beginning, first quarter, second quarter time frame here. And I'm looking forward to the technology solutions that come as a result of that. There'll probably be big moves in mobile, which we'll be talking a little bit later in the podcast. And lastly, transparent reporting. David mentioned the call report, which was a big mover in 2011 and 2012. There's also Reg Z, Reg AB, just an increasing need for transparent communication of information. What data was at the time a transaction was made, and what was the data, and then what was the decision, and being able to audit and report on that all the way throughout the lending cycle.
You know, I got to jump in there. Gabe sounded really digital, folks. We realize we're doing everything on a voice over IP basis, and sometimes the various IP voice over IP devices remind us that we might be just slightly on the cutting edge of things. We heard everything you said. There was some digital artifacts that were added over what you were saying, Gabe. So, but it's good to hear. If you dialed in on a line, you may want to try a landline, but stay there. I don't think it's that bad. I don't want you to have to mess around with phones, but apologize to our listeners that might have heard him beeping away in the background, and that was not because we were editing what Gabe says. We were actually wanting to amplify it. Tony, back to you.
Michael, what do you think? What's big in 2012 in your mind?
I think the battle for the borrower is going to continue to rage on. And so when that happens, as Kelly mentioned, the customer experience becomes absolutely critical. Lenders are going to look for technology solutions that allow them to best address and meet that customer experience, whether that's in their CRM systems, whether, as Gabe mentioned, mobile technology and mobile embraces social media, online lending. Do lenders have apps? Because at the end of the day, it's critical to go to where the borrowers are at, and the borrowers are online. I think you'll see additional traction for business intelligence and analytics. As transparency becomes more and more critical to restore investor confidence, there's got to be a better way and a more transparent process. And then, as everyone has mentioned, all things compliance-related will continue to take precedence in 2012.
Battle for the borrower, Tony. I love that. Michael, I think you are spot on there, because with the refinances, we're going to get through those with HARP 1 and HARP 2. We're going to see that happen. And then it's come back to, once those are done, it's going to be just who do we have, and it's a group we're battling for that purchase business. Great points.
What do you think, Roger? I mean, what's top of mind in 2012 for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I've always sort of felt that technology isn't really used enough in the mortgage industry. I mean, look at eSign. It's been around for 10 years, and we still haven't, Kelly can attest, we still haven't really latched onto it. Like, and you look at some of the technology tools that we've had, like automated underwriting, they had a tendency to kind of accept those facts without using it as a tool. But where I really see it coming is that there's going to be some significant growth in the technology. When you look at some of the work that IBM done recently on natural language processing that was kind of displayed when they had Watson on Jeopardy, and so for the first time they can understand and process that information electronically, digitally, and so that's going to really produce some great opportunities on customer support and education and so on, and being able to educate the borrower by listening to his question and interpreting it and getting back to him. In fact, IBM is developing some supercomputer chips for doing that processing at tremendous speeds and so on. But I think the other big thing that's going to happen is the whole initiative around data standards. You know, we have all these little buzzwords out there, the UMDP, the ULDD, and what that really means is for the first time the industry as a group has decided on some data standards and some ways of communicating the same across all the platforms. So when you look at the automated underwriting from Fannie and Freddie, they used to have different standards, and everybody had a right to different integrations there. And now, except for a few minor exceptions, they all have the same thing. So it's just going to make that so much more of a level playing field in the communication across all the people within the mortgage chain.
That's really interesting, Roger. I was just reading about that in I use Flipboard a lot and reading on my iPad. I was just reading about those chips in IBM and studying it. I think that's very, very important, and it'd be really fascinating, as I don't know if we have time to get into how that could change our industry, but that in itself could be revolutionary, especially when it comes to battling for the borrower, as Mike was talking about earlier. And I think that's significant, fascinating. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tony.
Well, Dave, I know you're the host, but we were hoping to put you on the spot and see what you thought about 2012. Come on. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
I tell you, it's fascinating. I'm preparing. I'm speaking the second week in January here, next week after next, I guess, the 10, 11th, 12th, and 13th. I'm speaking all over Florida, and I'm talking on this. And I think the most significant thing is people, are they going to embrace the regulatory world? I mean, the compliance changes that are coming at us. And I think I think there's been such a cavalier attitude towards that. I think there's going to be a real struggle for people. And I think those that do that and listen to read Progress in Lending and are equipped with the knowledge that you and your group bring, I think are going to be those that are best equipped to take on these challenges. So I think the number one challenge in the new year is compliance, and I think the call report, all the regulations that Gabe so well articulated, just ran through, are just going to create an ever-challenging environment. So here's the deal. This is going to be for those that have the right attitude. They're going to be able to survive and prosper in a way because so many people are leaving, are going to get forced out, or just get discouraged and exit. So I think this is an opportunity, a time to be in mortgage banking, the best time ever, ever, ever. So I think the biggest thing that I'm anticipating in the new year when it comes to this is really the changes are going to be brought about through technology, responding to the compliance issues and all the regulatory complications that are going to be increasingly coming at us, Tony. So great. Appreciate that. I love being put on the spot. Go ahead.
Well, the other issue, Dave, I mean, as we've talked about kind of indirectly, when we talk about the battle for the borrower, is that origination volume is going to be declining, and lenders need to know how they get new business. So, Michael, what's your thoughts on that one?
Well, I think, Tony, as you mentioned, origination volumes are declining. You know, lenders are being confronted with thinner margins, and there's that constant influx, as Dave mentioned, with new rules and regulations being rolled out almost on a daily basis. And so as Dave mentioned, that's going to be the number one priority. How do you respond right now to what's happening from a compliance perspective? But I think what's critical is while that's taking place, lenders can't get so bogged down that they lose sight of they still have to bring in new business, and they have to focus on what is going to drive new business in 2012. And I think times have changed. There's been some major shifts, not just with the compliance aspect, but as you look at mobile, as you look at social, you look at the demand for information and how lenders, or I should say how borrowers, are going to look for a loan and get a loan, there's been those major shifts that lenders have to embrace while still making sure that they adhere to compliance.
Another issue that lenders always face is how they're going to deal with documentation and how they're going to deal with the doc prep end of their business. Roger, in your opinion, what could lenders be doing differently in 2012 to really improve that problem?
Well, there's a couple of things. Obviously, you know, documents have always been a necessary evil. But over the years, I mean, I think it's kind of grown enormously as far as the number of documents required and all the different changes that come down regulatory, and it's hard to stay on top of that. So I think that what people have to look at is something that we're doing at Compliance Systems in the sense that we don't look at document templates, all the base templates. We actually have software components to create those documents based on the data in that transaction. Again, it's all about the data. But more than that, we treat the content as data, too. So we can build, with a single component, any security instrument, Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, by analyzing the data and pulling the correct content in together and putting it all together. And we warrant both the content and the data together. But really what happens here is because we're so data-centric, it gives us the ability to look at a new feature we're rolling out this year is called configurable doc. So we not only can create those documents, but you look at the security instrument, you have all the uniform covenants, for example. You can actually give the lender or the LOS the capability to modify that and still not have to create custom docs and so on. So I think all of that will go a long way towards reducing the time and expense in documents. We have to think about documents differently than what we have in the past.
I couldn't agree more, Roger. I think that people think about the mortgage process as a collection of documents when it's really a collection of data elements. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to have these data standards so that when you communicate that data to another party in the transaction, they both have – it's like a dictionary. They have a common understanding of what that data element is and what it means.
And Gabe, I wanted to bring you in on the conversation as well. You know, specific to the settlement industry, what technology advancements can we expect this year from that area of the industry?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to let you know I switched phones. I'm hoping that I'm sounding better.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. When you speak, it clips out a little bit, but that's all right. We're hearing you loud and clear.
Okay. Definitely on the settlement, just picking up on Roger's point, there's a definite push towards e, but I don't mean just e-mortgage and e-settlement. I mean all of it, the packaging, imaging, electronic delivery, auditing of the closing data, and more. The mobile technology is definitely going to make a jump, I believe, this year on the settlement side. We're already seeing applications on iOS, the Apple system, where you can now scan with the camera on the back of an iPad or an iPhone, and you can scan your closing documents and start to deliver them completely remotely. So definitely a focus on fast turnaround times from certainly the large lenders that are moving through the volume, and that's a few of the advancements that we're seeing on the settlement side.
Hey, that's really that is fascinating, and I think that's one of the things I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but we started using Apple a lot more in a lot of in our company. We're switching our whole company over to Apple, and what that technology brings. It's interesting you bring that up, Gabe. And as we if we have time at the broadcast, do we see a shift away from DOS? Is that I can't imagine that's going to ever become mainstream, but love to get your thoughts on that collectively. But that's, I know we have so much to talk about, and I want to get through it. I have so many questions. I'm making notes badly that I want to ask each of your guests as we get towards the end. But go ahead, Tony. Back to you.
I wanted to bring Kelly in. Have you heard of electronic signatures going mainstream in the mortgage industry? And what about, can you tell me, you know, the trends around if and how they are being used in the mortgage industry today? Kelly, what do you think?
Sure. So kind of going back to, you know, Dave's, you know, technology comments, it's all about the process improvement. So e-signatures are just part of the information highway. So it's not about the technology, it's about what it does. So first of all, disclosures today are being signed by the millions with e-signatures. And it's not about the e-signature, it's about the improvement of the regulatory compliance and the better customer experience around that process. How many times do people get to the closing table, they don't, you know what they've, you know, been disclosed for? So what happens with an improved process is better audit trails for the lender, which also produces a better process for the consumer. Reduced cycle times, you can document that you've, you know, disclosed that information within the 72-hour period, and increased customer conversion. Going back to Michael's comment, you know, the battle of the borrower. People are going online. There's a psychological benefit for a borrower signing up, so to speak, when they're applying online with an e-signature. And so you can get someone from a prospect to a borrower in a faster process with better experience for the borrower and a more informed experience by disclosing this information. Dave, I think you'll also like to hear that your listeners are going to be brought in on some very exciting news from the IRS and the FHA, what's happening. So very quickly, the IRS, right now, there's really two pilots going on within the IRS to electronically sign the 4506.
Wow.
We all know the 4506T is, you know, that's a,
yeah,
you know, a document that has to be done. And the IRS is very engaged with the MBA and the industry to get that underway. There's a pilot going on right now that's going to end in Q2 that will be brought out to the better part of the industry to sign e-signatures, sign the 4506 with the e-signatures. And then there's a proof of concept going on right now also with an automated request process direct with the IRS. So the point
that's encouraging.
Is, yeah, you know, your listeners need to know this is happening. And anyone that's going to be attending the Mortgage Technology Conference in April, the IRS has unofficially committed to a couple sessions there to bring everyone up to speed on that. So I think that's very exciting. In addition, the FHA is expanding its acceptance of e-signatures from third-party documents to actual loan documents. And that's
wow.
going to be coming out. Yeah, that's huge because FHA, obviously, their market share has dramatically increased over the last couple of years. And so for technology to move forward, FHA really needed to be on board, and that is happening. So I want your listeners to know that these things are happening, and you're going to see great things from both the IRS and the FHA in regards to automation of processes in 2012. It's very exciting.
Tony, I think we should give Kelly the Perseverance Award. Anybody who has stuck with e-signatures, pushed it for as long as it's been around, they must get, there must be a Progress in Lending Perseverance Award that gets issued, and Kelly, I think, deserves it. You know, so we'll unofficially give you a virtual award right here on the radio program. My compliments.
Well, I appreciate that.
One question I had, I'm refinancing my loan right now, my mortgage, and I'm shocked. This is a large, one of the largest lenders out there, and I'm shocked that I have to sign my disclosures with an e-signature, and I couldn't. They don't have it implemented. What is the percentage? I have a quick question. What percentage is being e-signatures are being applied industry-wide, and do you have a prediction in 2012 if it's how much dramatic adaptation will there be of e-signatures in 2012?
That's a great question. I would say that right now 30 to 40% of all disclosures are being signed electronically today. We have some of the bigger players coming on board. I would say an increase for 2012 will be at about a 15% rate. Not as fast as I would like to see it, but it's increasing dramatically quarter by quarter, and that is because more investors are accepting of the e-signatures. Once we get FHA on board, and that won't happen until the end, you know, Q2, then we're going to see, you know, probably.
Yeah, and we'll be at the tipping point at that point. We're going to watch a pretty rapid expansion. Yeah, yep. Sorry
correct.
For hijacking that, Tony. I know we got a lot. I'm looking at the calendar clock. We have about 14 minutes to go here. So I know we got a few other really critical points I want our listeners to hear about. So let's move on. Thank you so much, Kelly.
The one thing that we've been talking about a lot here, Dave, is mobile. So I thought I would
yes.
ask Michael, you know, should mobile be a business imperative for today's financial service companies? And really, what should they be doing with mobile? I don't think they know what to do with this particular technology, Michael.
Great question.
All right, Tony. Well, should they be, is this a business imperative? Absolutely. If they want to win the battle for the borrower, it definitely is. But let me give you a little backup to why is it so imperative. There's a mobile revolution taking place. There's over 5.3 billion mobile subscribers, over 60 million smartphone users in the U.S. in 2010, over 5 billion mobile apps downloaded. And so what everyone needs to understand by those numbers, that 5.3 billion mobile subscription eclipses the combined penetration of PCs, landlines, and TVs combined.
That's crazy.
Wow.
So when we talk mobile, it's not just a cell phone. Yes, it's cell phones, it's tablets, it's apps, it's social media. It's transforming every industry, and unfortunately, the mortgage industry has been slow to adopt. And I think one of the reasons why there hasn't been that adoption, or back to your question of, you know, what do they need to look at? First, they have to get past that, oh, this is just another marketing media. It's not. It's a very dynamic way to build one-to-one relationships with the borrower. As we go back to, you know, winning that battle for the borrower, after all, what's more personal to you than your mobile device? It's always on. It's always with you. It's personally customizable in every way. So as we look to 2012, I believe lenders need to and vendors need to align their products and services with this permanent shift that mobile's driving, or risk relevance in a world that's forever been changed by anytime, anywhere, and always on media.
You know, in 2011 at the NBA annual show, Dave, Progress launched a mobile app for your iPad.
I use it all the time, too. It's constant. I love it.
And we, you know, we did it after we modeled the GUI after Flipboard, which you mentioned at the earlier in the show.
I was wondering if that was the model. I love Flipboard. And
we
love
Flipboard
Progress
too,
and Lending. For our listeners that do not have that, go download it. How can they get it, Tony? Help people go out and
it's avail-
walk
it's
them through that.
You know, it's free of charge. It's a free app on iTunes. It's specifically for your iPad. It gives you all the kind of information that not only comes from Progress, but we also follow, at this point, up to 6 different Twitter accounts. We are following several different industry white papers. We have direct links to different industry sources. So it's really an iPad app that we hope connects you to different pieces of the industry all within one. It's a free app. So go down and download it on iTunes.
Listeners, go get it. That's all I can say. Just go get it. It'll be a part of your regular reading. Cool. Let's keep moving on for the sake of time. Let's keep going along here with what you have outlined here. I love your talking points.
Well, Kelly talked a little bit about e-signatures, Dave. I wanted to segue that to e-delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a term that people use more frequently, Kelly. What can you tell the listeners today about e-delivery and where that is going in the future?
Yes, it's a very confusing term, and what I want your listeners, Dave, to walk away with is they need to go back to their shops and say, how are we delivering documents that have sensitive information known as, you know, PPI, known as private personal information? And so it's shocking, and some of the companies out there have done surveys, that even today companies are emailing out as attachments PDFs with personal and private information. And so I'm pledging to your listeners, if they learn anything today, is that to go back and understand that that is really putting themselves at great liability. So there are many platforms and technology out there today that can eliminate, you know, the rogue loan officer or someone emailing PDFs as attachments with private personal information. So e-delivery is all about the secure delivery of that kind of information. So,
it's important.
As a matter of time, that's all they need to know. They need to understand and go back and look at their current processes, look at vendors that they're using, because there are actual vendors out there today, unfortunately, that are engaging in this kind of activity. And huge liability if that document is intercepted. There's federal fines. If you're a public entity, the CEO has to announce within 48 hours that information has been compromised. And Michael, as the marketing guru here, you know that that is a public relations nightmare to have to do
nightmare.
That. So I just want your listeners to understand that that's a huge problem. They need to hopefully go back and you know, examine that that's not happening within the entity.
Boy, that's a huge one. And are you telling me that e-delivery of this is something that we're going to see develop in 2012, is the development of that, where that is going to be essential, that people deliver that confidential information on it? Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Listeners,
so
make note of that, listeners. That's a huge one. That's a 411, that's a five big alarm for me going off. So.
That's a whole topic right there. But at least we're trying to bring awareness in this call today.
Yes.
And Dave,
we're going to have you back and talk about that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you mentioned a lot about Alice Alvey, and you know, she does an awesome job on your show talking about compliance. I think it's unfortunate that she rarely has good news for us.
really captured my attention. We've got to get this one out. I want Kelly back on the radio program to talk about that one. I have all you back. This is a program I'm really fired up about this. But let's keep going through this, because there's some other really important information that we bring out. And we have, I'm looking up here, 7 minutes left. My gosh. Okay, where's the time flying? Go on.
Well, I wanted, you know, to speak about compliance. I wanted to talk about the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. I thought we would be remiss without it, just bringing it up a little bit. I'll toss it over to Roger first, you know, but what's significant about the impact that the CFPB will have on our industry this year, and how can technology help lenders out?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I think the important thing is to recognize that legally, disclosures that we've used over the years have always been legally compliant. What the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is trying to do is to develop disclosures that are more consumer-friendly, because in reality, if a consumer is signing a document and is not really sure what he's signing and then ends up with a problem later on, that reflects bad on the industry. And so I think that they've been very open with the industry in its endeavor to create these kind of consumer-friendly disclosures. They presented different prototypes and pushed them out to both consumers and lenders and investors and trade associations, and they've got a lot of feedback, and they're kind of still kind of tweaking them. So it's definitely something to look at when you consider all the other regulatory changes that are going to be coming down the line. It's important that we get these really clear and understandable. And so part of it is getting a disclosure that the consumer can understand, but also the lenders have to start educating those consumers a little more about what this whole process is and what it means to them. I think that's still a very weak point in the industry at this point.
I agree. I think that they're, you know, the goals of the CFPB are lofty and probably beneficial, but what do you think about execution? It seems to me that they're not engaging the industry as much as they could, Roger.
Well, one of the things that they just talked about was there was six different mortgage industry groups that came back to the CFPB and asked them to create this uniform nationwide disclosure, and preempt a lot of inconsistent state laws. We still have this problem sometimes that they do something at the national level and the state ends along and they want to have their own little tweak on it. And so by doing that, you're kind of discounting the fact that we're trying to build some standards here. And so I think that's important. And they have some strong people. They have the Mortgage Banking Association, the Community Mortgage Banking. You know, they have a number of organizations that are trying to help them. But like anything else, this industry moves a little slow, and it's hard to kind of accept. They're working on a better disclosure at closing time so that people really understand where their costs are and what they mean. And so all of that, I think, is a combination of disclosing it better and educating the consumer better.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I know we're getting close on time, Dave. We were in the last 4 minutes of the show, but I thought that maybe in terms of final thoughts, maybe we throw it out to you and to everybody on the call as a group to really sum it up and, you know, what are the final thoughts as it pertains to technology that you would like the listeners today to take away?
I think this is one of the first things that Gabe ran through is the list of new regulations, and I think I would like to go around real quickly, and I personally am thinking that regulation and compliance is going to be the number one issue that everyone's got to focus on and how technology is. But I would like to just, again, summarize in the parting thoughts each one of you want your listeners, our listeners, to walk away from. Each of you guys have done a great job of covering some really important points. We got through a good number of them. There's a few that we're not going to get to for sake of time. But I'd like to have each one of you say, if you were to walk away from this radio program, Kelly did a good job talking about PPI, the private personal information, the regulatory risk. What is everyone's walk away from this broadcast? For our listeners need to know, what is the top one or two things you would say, walk away from this broadcast, realizing this in 2012? And let's start off with Kelly. If there's anything you want to add to PPIs or another one, and then we'll go around the wrist and we'll throw it to Gabe and then Roger and then Michael.
That sounds great. So I would say that define the critical path to your customer that needs the most improvement and then apply the appropriate technology. So that is my pondering question to your listeners.
That's great. All right, Gabe?
Yeah, so I obviously that's a loaded question, but given the topics we covered today, from a regulatory standpoint, listen to your show. I would ask your listeners to keep tuned in because it's all going to hit the ground running once they get a director appointed over the CFPB, which will empower it formally, finally.
Yeah.
They've hired 700 or more people in the last year, so they're going to be very, very active once they get those last pieces in. So watch for that. And then the second point I would leave them with is with regard to your point, Dave, about Apple and Microsoft, and it's a technical point, but I believe that 2012 and going forward will be the year of the user interface, the UI. And HTML5 is being talked about heavily right now as the mobile devices are all converging. You have the Android and you have the iOS, and then you have cross-browser support so that you can bring up the same mortgage banker's website on all of those devices and conduct business, B2B or B2C. So definitely pay attention to the technology trends, I would ask your listeners, on the user interface.
That's a great point. All right, Roger.
Well, I really think that the biggest thing that the lending community has to do is be more proactive rather than reactive. I think they really have to kind of take control of their business and look at what people are, instead of just reacting and responding to a regulatory thing, to get involved and understand what this does to their business and push back if it doesn't feel like it's right and really have a voice in the industry.
That is great, Roger. Boy, I tell you that. Big time. Big time. So I agree with that. All right, Michael?
I think technology can be a great enabler, but it must be embraced. It kind of dovetails right off of what Roger said, that it's got to be more proactive, whether that's with mobile, whether that's handling compliance, whether that's winning the battle for the borrower. You've got to embrace this technology and enable it to really provide some concrete solutions.
Let me read some of the commentary that's already been emailed to me from our listeners that are listening, going, you've got to do this broadcast at least once a quarter. Please ask this group to come back and once a quarter and be a part of it. I got a feeling, another one says, I got a feeling you're just barely scratching the surface on this, and we agree that there's going to be so much significant developments. Folks, we want to say a special thank you to Tony Garitano, Kelly Purcell, Gabe Minton, Roger Godoba, and Michael Hammond for being a part of the broadcast today and being a part of our listening audience. A special thank you to you. Also, go out and check out our website, www.lickinonlending.com, and look at our sponsors. I'll tell you, New Penn Financial's got some new products out there. You've got to pay attention on it. Don't have time to get into it, but click on it, and we look forward to having you on and talking to you again next week. Happy New Year, everybody. Look forward to talking to you. Thank you.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.